Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cavaliers, they took it through three quarters. At least they stayed within it through three quarters until Golden State handed their ass to them with a 132-113 win as they pulled away in the fourth quarter. And to talk about it all, we go to the hotline and we welcome in from CBS Sports, the NBA writer for them and a college basketball writer as well, which I do have a one-and-done question to ask him as well. We welcome in Kyle Boone. Find him on Twitter, at KyleBooneCBS. Kyle, thanks for joining us tonight, my friend.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, man.
Is the series still going or is it over after tonight?
It's still going. I think the saying goes, the series isn't officially in swing until someone wins on the road. So I think the Warriors were going to be favorites no matter what in Golden State. They won both the games, obviously. They have a 2-0 lead. Series goes back to Cleveland for games 3 and 4. If they can steal one on the road, then I'm ready to maybe call it. But hey, it's only two games in. I don't want to write them off just yet.
I was worried at the beginning of the game. I broadcast from Cleveland, by the way, so I've had to have some emotional restraint here, Kyle. But I was a little bit worried because there were so many people who were excited about the Cavs pushing the pace in the first quarter. I want to hear your thoughts on this because I thought that. Golden State is a team. Yeah, Kyle, I think Golden State's a team that they can make mistakes and still live with it, and they can live with the transition because of what they have with Kevin Durant, where I thought if the Cavaliers were to stay with it and maybe capitalize and take a lead, they might have to slow it down and be more methodical on offense and let LeBron maybe work more into bursts instead of trying to push the pace.
Right, yeah, and I think that was kind of the common belief among everyone really coming into this game. That was kind of the secret potion that they used kind of to come back last series in the finals last year when basically they played bully ball and slowed the game down to a crawl and gave LeBron the ball and kind of just worked kind of how he did tonight, just getting to the rim and getting easy buckets around the rim. But that was kind of not the case tonight. They were ready to push it as quickly as they could, and I thought that was a little bit strange. But it worked for him in the first half. You know, it was a one point game at halftime, and they just don't have the horses to kind of keep up throughout the game. They saw the third quarter, the Warriors obviously pulled away, and you know, again, for kind of a second straight game, I think I would have been more entertained watching the spelling bee than the finals, which is, you know, it's not necessarily maybe a good omen for the final games of the series.
Should LeBron James have went to the podium?
I think so. I think he's kind of throwing a fit about probably the rotation, it sounds like, based off of what Twitter is saying. But I think he's irritated because he has to wait. Maybe the greatest player on earth thinks he should get some sort of special treatment, but that really isn't the case. So, yeah, I think he should have gone to the podium.
Kyle Boone joining us, CBS Sports, NBA, and college basketball writer. I couldn't go back to the experience of last year. I wanted to, Kyle, but I couldn't because I would feel a team that was driven to 73 wins in the regular season, they would still be a team that would come back and have a reflection after they lost where their life's work becomes an internet meme, and that the way that they lost, it was basically the Cavaliers played well, and LeBron had incredible games, and Kyrie did too, but you know, Steph Curry lost his mind, Draymond Green got kicked out of the finals. I just couldn't respond to that. I thought that the Cavaliers would have to figure out a way to play him straight up because they would be a much more cerebral team this time around.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right. And I think when you replace the obvious answer, I think is that they're replacing, you know, Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant, and that's just not fair, right? I mean, just the talent that they have on the roster, and you know, when they can go really six deep and Klay Thompson. I guess Klay Thompson is your fourth best player, or maybe Draymond is your fourth best player, depending on the night. I mean, it's just the talent that they have, the offensive talent that they have, and the number of guys that can really just beat you on any given night. I mean, you know, Durant had 33 tonight. Curry had 32. Clay had 22, and he's basically struggled for most of the playoffs. You know, it really is. It's just not fair. They just got too many weapons. They can beat you in so many different ways.
Should there be more parity in the NBA, or is that a loser's lament?
Hey, you're talking to a Tulsa native, so. My team, I guess, technically is the Thunder. So yes, I'm all about the parity, especially after losing Durant to the Warriors. But I think this is entertaining for now. If the Warriors run away and sweep this series, I think the NBA has kind of a problem on their hands, because now they're having to deal with, you know, one of the greatest teams ever, and they kind of let it happen just because of the salary cap spike and Durant's decision that led to that. So I think there should be more parity. I don't know if we'll get that anytime soon, it looks like, though.
Kyle Boone joining us on the show. Well, wouldn't that be up to Oklahoma City then to kind of empty their pockets and help out Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, you would think. But at the same time, I think they could throw as much money as they want. You know, at some of the free agents that are going to be available this offseason. But then you look at their other options. You look at maybe like Gordon Hayward, who's going to be available. Why would Gordon Hayward turn down places like Boston or the Lakers or other teams that are going to be wanting him to come to Oklahoma City, where I wouldn't say it's probably the most the biggest market for some of those big names. So I think the draw just really isn't there. You could throw as much money as you want at some of those big names, but I think the draw in some of the smaller markets just isn't the same.
How much of an effect does Steve Kerr have on this basketball team with him on the sidelines in Game 2?
I think it is a big effect. I think it's probably bigger than what people say it is. You know, Kerr has been pretty actively involved. Just in the game planning and preparation. He's been talking with the team at halftime. He's been talking with the team after the game, and I think that's a big deal that he's been actively involved. But him being on the sideline, I think, is probably more of a mental thing. I think just he's so relatable. He's such a, you know, casual, laid-back coach. And I think that, you know, obviously he fits in perfectly with the Warriors. They're such a good team, and they mesh well with him. But I think it's a bigger deal than what people are kind of saying. You know, obviously Mike Brown has done a tremendous job at the helm. He was 11-0 as the head coach this postseason, but when you bring back a guy like Kerr, who's obviously, you know, he's respected in his own right, I think it's a big deal, and I think it's good that they're expecting to have him back for the postseason for the Warriors.
Kyle Boone, CBS Sports, joining us on the show. How do I gauge Ty Lue and what type of a coach he is, because he does have to coach LeBron?
Yeah. I think it says a lot about him from last year, just coming back from a 3-1 deficit. I think that maybe said a lot about him, some of the game plan changes that he made and slowing the game down and really attacking the Warriors. But I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of different coaches that could succeed in his spot. I think LeBron James would make me look pretty good on the sidelines too, so it's kind of hard to judge Lou's performance, but I think we'll learn a lot about him here in the next couple games. If we only have two more games in the finals, I think that will say a lot about Ty Lue as a head coach.
What would you do to fix the one-and-done rule?
I think there should not be a one-and-done. I'm sick of the one-and-done, to be honest. I think it's killing college basketball. You look at some of the big names from college, and you know they're not interested in college. They just want to get to the league. They want to get money. They want to get fame. So I think you stick with. I like the rule that high school kids can turn pro. I think that's fair. Some of these guys should be getting paid anyway. They're worth millions of dollars, and I think they should cash their checks as soon as they can. So I don't like the one-and-done rule. I think they should stay 2 years. I think it's just such a strain on college coaches. You know, they spend years recruiting some of these guys, and they get them for, you know, just one season or half a season. You look at guys like Markelle Fultz and and Ben Simmons, they're not even program changers. You know, Markelle Fultz didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. He didn't make it to the NIT tournament. Ben Simmons didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. So it's not a big deal for some of these guys that are, you know, such heralded recruits to commit to these programs, other than they can claim that they went to LSU or they went to Washington. But they're not changing the college game. And, you know, I think that they should just go make their money now.
Kyle Boone on the show with us. Should there then be maybe a three-year rule, maybe like the NFL or something like that, for kids who do go to college?
Yeah, I think I would like that, but I think the problem is that you know, you're basically holding a guy back from his earning power, I guess you could say. I just have a problem with maybe telling guys that, hey, you can't go do this or you can't go do that. I think that they should always have that option. But, you know, I think that would be fair. You give them the option to go pro after their high school career, or they stay for 3 years. I think that's fair, because you can generally separate the, you know, superstar talent from the guys who need development. That would certainly, I think, there would be less watering down in the NBA, and some of those guys that probably aren't one-and-done stars, you know, you wouldn't see them in the D League. You'd see them developing into NBA talent by the time their college career is over.
Well, how do you think that this draft's going to be coming up here in a few weeks? Do you think this is a good NBA draft or a bad one? Real quick.
I think it's good. You've got Markelle Fultz at the top, who's probably going to go number one. You've got Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox. There's a bunch of potential superstars, a lot of point guard. It's a point guard heavy draft, I think, is probably how it's most regarded. So I think it's a good draft. I think there's a lot of talent, you know, in the lottery especially, but I think a lot of teams are going to find some good value down at the bottom of the first round and into the second round.
Because I'm always the guy, Kyle, where, well, if someone's going to pay you, go ahead and take their money. You can always go back to school if you want to. But there's also a point of making a sound financial decision, or something that's going to set you up a little bit better long term. I don't know, guys have always come out early, both in football and in basketball, and certainly baseball as well. How do you try to talk somebody into something like that, where maybe you stay to put a little bit more polish on your game, where, hey, there's still going to be some guaranteed cash that's going to be laid to you in the NBA. I don't know if you can do that to anybody.
Yeah, I don't think you can, to be honest. I mean, you can obviously take out some sort of insurance to make sure that your value doesn't drop. You see that a lot in the NFL, but I don't really think there's a, if there was a really good solution to it, I think it may have at least been implemented by now. So it's still a work in progress. And obviously Adam Silver said he's going to address some of the one and done issues and revisit that topic. And, you know, maybe he has a solution, but I kind of doubt it. So,
Kyle, I thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the best.
You bet. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.